Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Who's ready for an inspiring message from God's Word? All right, okay, turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19. We are in a series entitled, very clearly, it's right there on the screen, Stranger Things, in which we are talking about, and I want you just to bear with me now, we are talking about the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to dive into some of the things that some of you really want to hear about. What does the Bible have to say about tongues and speaking in tongues? Been getting lots of questions about that over the years, and so here as we dive into this series, Stranger Things, we encourage everybody here at Canvas Church to take notes, and so there's two ways you can take notes here. We have paper notes, if you want paper notes, and if you didn't grab them at the info, just shoot your hand in the air right now. We got paper notes we can hand out to you right now. We have enough for both services, the first and the second. And so there's some paper notes for you, some place for you to fill in the blanks, some place for you to jot down some other stuff as well. But if you like the digital, anybody in here like digital format? All right, okay, one of you, okay. So digital format, you just got to go to our app, and you can get our app by texting the word app to 858-943-2221. And if you go to the notes section, all the notes are posted there every week, or at least should be. If they're not, let me know. But right there, and you can fill in the blanks, and you can take more notes in there, and you can email them to yourself, save them, whatever you want to do. But we encourage you to take notes, because here's why we want you to take notes. We want you to take notes because we understand that it's not just about hype here at Canvas Church. It's not just about, man, coming for, you know, 60 minutes, experience some great worship, and somebody was like, 60 minutes, Pastor, you preach for 60 minutes. It's not about being here for 60 to 80 minutes, whatever, and just having this power-packed hour and a half. It's about growing in Christ, all right? We want you to grow in Jesus Christ. We want you to grow in the grace that God has for you. We really want you to get to that place where you understand that He has an amazing plan for your life and that you just continue to walk that out. And so we don't want you just to come here on Sunday morning and just have a great time. We want you to do that. We want you to retain something, take it home, and then begin to process that. And that's why we have small groups as well. And I know that through the summer we take a break from small groups, but that's why we're having family night. And I just want to say this, family night, our first one ever on Wednesday night was amazing. If you weren't here, man, the youth were in here and they just come back from camp and it was phenomenal. It was just incredible what was going on in here. And then we had our VBS Splash Mountain going on for all of the kids and they were having an incredible time. And because your pastor's so gracious, he allowed the youth to be in here and we crammed the adults over there in the cafe. And I want you to know, man, we had a great time. A few more people show up and we won't even fit in the cafe. It was so awesome. But it's just a way for us to flesh out a little bit more what God's speaking to this community. And I think it's a great time for you to dive in on a Wednesday night and then go into a small group come fall. But right now is a great time as we're in this subject about the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about filters. And so if you missed that message, let me just say this. Everything in life has a filter. You have a filter. And so when it comes to different topics and different subjects, some of you here for the very first time, and I mentioned we're talking about the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you have a filter of what you believe and what you think. We're asking everybody for the next 8 weeks to set that filter aside, and we're going to dive straight into the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit, and then when we get to it, about tongues and speaking in tongues. And so we're going to read Acts chapter 19. Why are we calling it Stranger Things? Here's the definition of strange: not native to or naturally belonging in a place. And the reason we're calling it Stranger Things, because it seems like too oftentimes the Holy Spirit that belongs in the church, the Holy Spirit that belongs in the life of a believer, seems to be foreign to the church and seems to be foreign to the life of a believer. And it's my hope that over the next 8 weeks that we will no longer see it that way, but we'll see how we're to live Spirit-led, Spirit-filled lives and be contagious, and so other people come to know Jesus. Acts chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 1, and it reads, I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it reads, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions and came to Ephesus. He found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? No, they told him, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And thus, last week, we talked about filters and how these disciples had no filter whatsoever when it came to the understanding of the Holy Spirit. They had no preconceived ideas. They hadn't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, we see that next, they were able to receive the Holy Spirit. Then, what baptism were you baptized with, he asked them. With John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John baptized you with a baptism of repentance, telling the people that they should believe in the one who would come after him, that is Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in other languages and to prophesy. Now there were about 12 men in all. No, they told him, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I want to speak to you in the next few moments, who is the Holy Spirit, or if you're a little more hip than that, who dis? All right? Whichever title you want to put down, that's fine with me. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that in the next few moments we have together, that Lord, you would speak to us in this place. That God, right now, that we would just push aside, Lord, any filters that we might have, and we would just come in and zone in right now, and that we would receive from your word, we would learn and we would grow. God, I pray you'd help me right now in this moment, create an environment for people to encounter your son Jesus, know your incredible love, and understand the amazing plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now, I've been working with people for quite some time. I've been in ministry now for over 20 years, and ministry is not just this on stage. It's not just preaching. It's not what happens on Sunday morning. Ministry is people, and honestly, one of my favorite jobs that are parts of my job that I have is actually working with people. Man, I love it. And here's what I've discovered in working with people, that every family, I don't care if it's a small family, I don't care if it's a big family, I don't care if it's a medium-sized family. I don't care what ethnic group you're a part of. Man, every family has that one family member. Y'all know where I'm going. Has that one family member that you don't really know very well, or maybe they're a little bit different. Okay? Now, some of you are laughing because you know who that is. You're already thinking about that person right now in your head. If you're not thinking about that person in your head right now, you might be the family member. Just saying, all right? You're like, no, we don't have one of those. And everybody else is like, right? But it seems that without fail, like every family has that one. A matter of fact, every family has that one. And what happens because of that one person is you'll do the big family gatherings, right, where everyone's invited, and that's the one they get invited to, right? But like the other family gatherings, it's kind of like they don't come around. I know I had some relatives like that, and I still remember to this day one of the very first times that one of my family members comes in, and I was like over to my mom, and I was like, who dis? I had no idea who it was. I was like, what? Like I think someone just crashed the party, right? Like they just walked into the family. I don't know who that is. No, they're like, oh, that's so-and-so. I'm not saying who it is, because in case they watch this, I don't want them to feel weird. But I still remember, and I had a hard time wrapping my mind around the fact that I had another relative I knew nothing about. And I'm like, why didn't we invite them to the other? But they're like, no, we don't invite that one to all the functions. Why? Because they're strange. They're different. And I'll never forget that feeling of like, wow, like we have another family member. And I knew nothing about him, right? Unfortunately, in church, it seems like a lot of times that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. Like that's kind of the thought process, like when it comes to the Holy Spirit, maybe much like these disciples. Now, last week, we looked at it from a different context, and we looked at it from the context of, hey, these disciples had no filter on who the Holy Spirit is, and because there was no filter, man, they were just able to receive openly, like, okay, talk to us, who is the Holy Spirit? Here's the unfortunate thing about that, is that the Bible doesn't just call these people Christians. The Bible doesn't just call these people like churchgoers. The Bible actually calls these people disciples, and yet these disciples knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. Could it be that in church today that we're a lot like those disciples? That we could go to church for years, we could go to church week after week after week, but yet never have any connection with the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit? You know, we talk a lot about Father God. We talk about a lot about the Son, Jesus Christ, and man, how he died on the cross. But here's something you need to understand. Man, the third person of the Godhead is the one that is actively and intimately working in the life of a believer right now. That for those of us that have come to the faith and we've said yes to Jesus and man, all of the work he did on the cross and that we've been saved by grace through faith and here's the thing you understand, that Jesus is not the one on the earth working right now. The Bible says that Jesus has ascended into heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. That's where he's at. When we talk about asking Jesus into our life, here's what we need to understand. We're saying, Jesus, all of the work that you have done, we receive it into our life. And because of the work you've done, man, your grace, man, your mercy, your love, man, it has cleansed me. It, man, as far as the east is from the west, so have my sins been removed from me. Man, this is a freeing feeling and this is a freeing life. But it is not Jesus that enters your life and begins to work in you as a believer. It is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and lives and dwells inside and empowers the life of the believer. But yet, could we, in today's church, in today's culture, be like these disciples and sit here and be like, I haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I haven't even heard that there is a Holy, who dis? I haven't heard about that. Matter of fact, I was just talking, or I heard through somebody that was so excited about the Wednesday night and how we just dove further into the topic because they've been going to church for some 40 years, and this was their response. You know what? In all my years of going to church, I've never heard one message on the Holy Spirit. So could we be in a church culture that is much like these disciples? I haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And here's the tragedy, and most of us would understand this, that the more you ignore something, the less real it becomes to you. Like the old saying, out of sight, out of mind. The more that something is ignored, the more that something is forgotten about, the less real it becomes to you. But here's what we need to understand, man, it is the Holy Spirit's hour. It is the Holy Spirit that is moving right now in the church. Come on, this is the way I look at it, man. This is the way I see it through Scripture, is that the Holy Spirit's working right now to point people to the cross of Jesus. And the cross of Jesus is always working to push people and point people to God the Father. The Holy Spirit is working right now. So who is this? This is what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit. I want to read this to you. This is what Jesus, not in your notes, you can write it down, John 16:5-7. John 16:5-7, it says, but now I'm going away to him who sent me, his Father. And not one of you asks me, and he's talking to his disciples, not one of you asks me, where are you going? Yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Verse 7, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is to your benefit. I love how Jesus says that, right? Like, guys, I'm telling you the truth, as if he was lying before, but why is he saying that? Because he wants to tell them something that's going to be hard for them to grasp. I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. Let's read on John 16:12. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, that's the one he was talking about being the counselor just a minute ago. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declares to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and I declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and he declares it to you. And there's that picture of the Holy Spirit pointing to Jesus and Jesus pointing to the Father. But check this out. Jesus says to his disciples, now let me ask you this question this morning. If Jesus was walking the earth right now, Jesus was sitting next to you right now in service. Right now, would that not be pretty epic? Yeah. Right? Like, wow. And he leans over, puts his arm around you, and just says, hey, man, you know what? I think it's just much better that I'm no longer with you. You'd be like, what? I mean, come on. Not only that, like look at all the work that he did. He had been walking with his disciples now for some 3-4 years. And man, they'd done ministry together. And man, they'd seen him do miracles. And they had seen him raise dead people. And so here's this guy, Jesus now, that we know is the Son of God, that he literally has raised dead people, opened blind eyes, and lame people are walking, and demons have been cast out. And he's just like, hey, this has been pretty epic, hasn't it? Yeah, this has been best 4 years of my life. You know what? It's actually better for you that I leave. Because if I leave, then the Holy Spirit can come. Right? Now think about that. That tells me a couple of things, right? That tells me, one, we should probably lean in and say, hey, who's the Holy Spirit? Right? Like, hey, tell me more. Not only that, If all the works that Jesus did were so epic and so amazing that their minds were blown, and all of a sudden he says, hey, that was cool, but it's actually better for you that I leave. That means what he's telling me is the one that's coming after him, man, what's going to happen then? Are you with me this morning? And so maybe as the church, we should lean in a little more and say, hey, Holy Spirit, what are you doing now? What are you doing in this culture? What are you doing in our nation? What are you doing in my life as a believer? What are you doing in my church? I mean, the Bible does say that, man, the works that Jesus did were really great, but greater works we will do. How are we going to do greater works? We're going to do greater works when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so we need to lean in, and I can't even imagine what that moment would be like. Maybe a little bit of a moment of confusion for them as he's like, hey, it's better for you, but if I go, man, I'm going to leave you the helper, the Holy Spirit. And I love this. It says that he will lead you and guide you in all truth. All truth. All truth. Not some truth. Not just truth that pertains to him, it's all truth. Have you ever needed wisdom in your life before? Somebody in the back, one person. You ever needed some answers in your life before? You ever needed some clarity in your life before? Listen, here's the thing. You don't need to pray for clarity. You need to pray for more of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to lead you and guide you in all truth. How many times is, you know, if you're here and you're just checking this thing out, I know I'm speaking a lot to the community right now and I'm speaking a lot to Christ followers, but this is a great message for you just to lean in and learn a little bit about what it looks like to be a Christ follower. How many times as believers do we pray for something rather than praying for more of him in our lives? Right? I mean, if in him is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand, you ever read that one before? Wow, there's... Do we need to pray for joy, or do we need to pray for more of his presence? Do we need to pray for more wisdom, or do we just need to pray for more of the Holy Spirit, because he's going to lead us and guide us in all truth? Amen? Jesus said, man, it's better for you. So who is the Holy Spirit? Let me just give you 3 thoughts on the Holy Spirit. And man, we're just going to keep diving in and diving in. So Wednesday night, if you can be here, man, we're going to be here 7 o'clock and we're going to take this thought even further. But number one, who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. So Pastor, that seems so obvious. But yet, I'll be honest with you, in a Christian mystical society, it's not obvious. I've talked to so many believers that believe that it's God's spirit, but it's not God. And sometimes that's the way it's phrased, because maybe our language doesn't translate the way it was written accurately. And so you can read the Bible, maybe even in Genesis chapter 1, where it says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the," because we can't translate it perfectly. But the Holy Spirit is not the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He is God. How do we know he's God? We know he's God because as you read through Scripture, he has all the attributes of God. What are some of the attributes of God? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Psalm 139, 7 through 8 says, "Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." This is talking about the Spirit. Where can I go to escape your spirit? And the answer to that, as you read on, is nowhere. So what does that tell us? It means he's everywhere present. Well, only God can be everywhere present. He's not only omnipresent. The Bible teaches that he's omnipotent, Zechariah 4:6. So he answered me, "This is the word of the Lord, not by strength or by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." What is he saying there? He said, look, man, there's not enough power in that. There's not enough strength, and it's not going to be by that. It's going to be by the Spirit of God. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit. He is all-powerful. He's not only omnipotent, he's also omniscient. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11 says, "Now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths," listen to this part, "even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of a man that is in him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." What is it saying here? It said, man, he knows everything. These right here are attributes that only God possesses. Did you know that God, being a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that it's actually the Spirit is the very first one of the Godhead mentioned in Scripture? In Genesis 1, I just mentioned that it was the Spirit hovering over the face. It says God, plural, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but it was the Spirit hovering over. He was the first one mentioned in Scripture actively involved in that moment. How do we know he's God? He does the works of God. He's involved in creations, Genesis 1, 2. It also says in Scripture that when they went to make man and woman, it says, "Let us," capital U, "let us make man in our own image." Who is the us? The us is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He imparts life to people. Only God can impart life to people. Romans 8, 11 says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you." Holy Spirit imparts life into people. He's God. Who is the Holy Spirit? Number two, he's the giver of gifts. He's the giver of gifts. I don't know about you, but I'm a total gift person. Anybody else in here a gift person? All right, we got some more gift people in here. If you ever read this book called The Five Love Languages, I don't know if it's true. All I know is I hone in on that one. That is me. I'm a gift person. Some people, I'm words of affirmation. Whatever. You're awesome. Good. All right. I'm a gift person. And so I always found myself, when I was trying to like love on people, I always found myself giving them gifts. Come to find out, my wife's not a total gift person, which saves me money, people. It's acts of service, kind of acts of service. Yeah. So if I really want to get to my wife's heart, I just got to do some dishes. Come on, somebody. Yeah, it's awesome. Amen. I don't know if you noticed, I did a lot of dishes this week. Did a lot of them. I might have dirtied some intentionally just to do them, just to get to your heart. I'm a gifts person. And so naturally, I gravitate towards that, right? And so, you know, has anybody ever had that, you know, we talked about the strange relative. What about the rich relative? Yeah, right? I mean, you know when you go, like, oh, man, this gift is going to be epic, right? I mean, why would you not gravitate towards the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 12 says that he gives gifts to believers. He gives gifts. I want you to write that down. We don't have time to dive into that. I need to wrap it up here in the next couple moments. But write down 1 Corinthians 12, and maybe you can do just a little study on that this week, that it's the Holy Spirit. He gives spiritual gifts to believers. Now, and it goes through and lists these gifts off, and we'll get into some of those a little later in the series. But here's what I love about this, is that these gifts that he gives to each and every believer, they're not for the believer themselves. If you read the passage in context, the gifts he gives to the church and to the believer, the only way they even make sense is if they're in operation, and the only way they're in operation is if they're benefiting other people in the church. It's pretty awesome, right? Like one of them is like the gift of prophecy, or the word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom. I mean, what is that for? That, and it says it's for the building up and the edification of the body. Could you imagine if, like, you had a word of knowledge about your own life? It can happen. But something powerful happens when you get a word of knowledge for somebody. It blesses somebody else. Man, it causes the church to grow and become stronger. And not just because of the word of knowledge that was given, but because the gifts that he has put inside believers are being exercised. I mean, anybody ever give anybody a gift before? Good, every hand should be up, right? Like, hopefully you have. Have you ever seen that gift show up being re-gifted? Right? Okay, can I just be honest with you? Like that hurts. Like, you took time to pick out this epic gift for somebody. And then, like, you show up to another party that they didn't know you were going to be at, and all of a sudden the gift shows up, and you're like, Wait, it still has their name. They didn't even, oh my gosh, they used the same wrapping paper. Right? What pleases, I'll tell you, when I give something to my girls, you know what pleases me? When I see them using it. When I see them using it. When I see them appreciating it. You know what? That's the same with the heart of God. Man, he gives gifts. Holy Spirit, that is, give gifts to believers. And let me tell you something, man. It pleases him when those are being used. When he sees his family getting along. You with me? He gives gifts. Read through that. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. We'll close with this one. He is the one who produces fruit in our lives. He is the one that produces fruit in our lives. That's the Holy Spirit. We just got done with a study in the book of Galatians, man. It was awesome. And in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it begins to name these fruit off. I want to read it to us again, because this is the work that the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that's one of the reasons why Jesus said, you know what, it's better for you, church, that I leave, because if I leave, I can send you the helper, the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the one that's going to lead you and guide you in all truth, because Jesus did his part, but now the Holy Spirit is doing his part, and he's producing fruit in the life of believers. Verse 16, chapter 5 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Anybody want to walk in the Spirit? You will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, here's the works of the flesh. They're obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. Highlight that one. I don't know what that means, but carousing. And here it is. Here it is. And anything similar to these. All right? This is the works of the flesh. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to what he says before he names those off. He says, but these things are obvious. The works of the flesh are obvious, but let me just go through. They're obvious. He doesn't say that about the Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, come on, these sound so much more pleasant, don't they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the one that produces fruit in our lives. I don't know about you, church, but I don't want to be that place where people can come into church and they can come and they can walk out never having heard about the Holy Spirit. I don't want it to be said one day like these disciples that we would be sitting around maybe in a group one day and all of a sudden someone mentions the Holy Spirit and you've been coming to Canvas Church for 15 or 20 years and like, I haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I want us as a church, as a community, to dive deep in to the Holy Spirit, to the work of the Holy Spirit, and understand that the Holy Spirit is not just the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is God, and He is the one that right now is most intimately and readily working in your life. He is the one that is producing fruit in your life, and He is the one that is giving you spiritual gifts so that the community continue to thrive and continue to grow. And when we begin to yield our life over to the Holy Spirit and we are led more by the Holy Spirit, we can begin to make a greater impact for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe what we need is more of the Holy Spirit in our church. I believe what I need is more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I believe that not just for me, but I believe it for you. I believe we need more of the Holy Spirit working and operating in and through us. And if we do that, I believe that a community can be transformed by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. God, we thank you so much for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, thank you that we can learn from these disciples in Acts chapter 19. Thank you that we can just look at this passage and see these disciples, yes, curious, open and ready to receive. But God, we can also learn that it's possible to be followers of Jesus and doing our best, but not realizing there's a whole nother person of the Godhead that we're missing out on. So God, I pray as I prayed last week for this community, as we dive in, as we go deeper, many of us coming back on Wednesday night for family, and as we dive deeper, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just pour yourself out in an incredible way. Hallelujah. God, for those that maybe aren't awakened to what their spiritual gift is, that through the process of this series, that you would awaken them to that spiritual gift. Because God, you said in your word that you give to each one gift. Together, man, it makes a beautiful picture. God, I pray, Lord, that we would exhibit more fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that because we're diving in and we're talking, I pray once again that filters would be removed and that you would have your way, and that when we come out of this on the other side, that we'd be more led by your Spirit than ever before because we're in tune. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.